In good or bad times, even committed Christians feel the tug of money. Greed lies like a serpent within us. And greed is the first of the seven secret snares that Erwin Lutzer is exposing during his current series. So, how is it with you and your money? Or better, with you and someone else's money? How do you feel when someone else wins the lottery? Please stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series tells about seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today we open the door on secret snare number one. Let's listen as Erwin Lutzer speaks on greed, the heart revealed.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all of its forms, greed for life, money, love, and knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind. So said Michael Douglas in a movie video clip that some of us saw this past week. Now listen to a different perspective. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." So who's right? Michael Douglas or Jesus? Ivan Boesky or Jesus? You and I or Jesus? Let me tell you the story of a young couple whom I shall call Paul and Judy. They married in their 20s and, from all accounts, as Christians, were destined for a happy relationship. They lived in an apartment for about 2 years, and then afterwards they decided to get some equity into a home, and so, based on a loan taken from Paul's father, they bought a house. But because their house was far from where they worked, they needed another car, and rather than buy an old clunker, which might have served their purposes, they decided to get a pretty good one because Paul was expected to receive a salary increase. The problem is that their new house also needed furniture, and rather than look at the ads where they could have bought something cheap, they decided to buy something more expensive because the store from which they purchased it said that no payments are needed until next year. But when Julie's job terminated, they began to get into some financial arguments because they could not meet their bills. And when she became pregnant, by then they were already putting their groceries on a credit card. And unknown to Julie, Paul was secretly getting some loans to keep her from the weight and the burden of their financial squeeze. What she didn't know is that in addition to getting some secret loans, he also began to do some gambling, particularly in the realm of sports, hoping that he would be able to get back some of the money that he desperately needed to pay all of the bills that were coming in. When all this came to the surface and was exposed, they had many, many arguments, and Julie wondered whether she could ever trust her husband again. What went wrong? Why is it that a marriage that was destined for happiness almost came to the end so tragically? Well, first of all, Julie and Paul, bless them, they decided that they would not depend upon God to meet their needs, but rather they would borrow money for what they wanted rather than simply for what they needed. And so they said to themselves, "We're going to borrow money rather than trust God's provision." Years ago, before credit was invented, and I don't know at whose feet we should leave that particular invention, but years ago, people actually had to trust God. And they would say to themselves, we're going to save money and we're going to pay for whatever it is that we have. And if we do not have enough money to buy it, we will simply assume that God does not want us to have it. And the will of God was often found by either the funds that were available or the funds that were not available. All those days, of course, are gone. Few people pray about these things anymore. Because all that you need to do is to have a credit card, and you don't have to ask God. You can have it today and pay for it tomorrow. In fact, all kinds of companies are glad to give you cards like that. Now, of course, I think it is okay to borrow money for items that appreciate in value, such as a home. If some of us didn't borrow money, we never would live in a home. But when you borrow money for those depreciating items, oftentimes those bills at high rates of interest begin to come in so quickly, and almost always we underestimate our ability to pay them back. My wife and I, especially when we were first married, we discovered that there is such a thing as a wise loan that's paid off in a timely fashion and an unwise loan. There are those other kinds that all of us at times have taken. You know what some of you need to do? Remember, as children, you always wanted to play doctor. I recommend that some of you do that. Maybe it's getting in touch with your inner child. But play doctor. Take those credit cards and perform plastic surgery. Try it. You'll like it. Cut them up into as many bits as those scissors allow. The curse of debt. The devil, debt, and dirt are all kissing cousins. That's the first mistake they made. The second mistake they made is that their greed led to other sins. Now, as we'll explain in a few moments, this always happens. Greed is never unchaperoned. It always comes with other sins. It comes in clusters. In this case, it came with dishonesty because Paul began to say some things that were not true in answer to questions that his wife was asking, because he had all these hidden loans that were going on, and he began to gamble to make the matters worse. That also was what went wrong. Thirdly, they boxed themselves in such a way that they could not give any more to the Lord's work. There was no money. One day they came home and the lights were actually turned off. So there's no money to the church. How do you give to missionaries? How do you give to God's work when you need every single dime with those creditors that are at your door, nipping at your heels? And your big question is, how do I make it until the next month? That's the question. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, were Paul and Judy greedy or were they just foolish? I'd like to suggest that they were both greedy and foolish. Greed and foolishness are also cousins. They come together. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27, a greedy man brings trouble to his family. If Paul and Judy had had that hanging above their kitchen table, they might have been spared some of the grief that came through their awesome debt. We are raising a generation in which greed is at the heart of consumerism. Someone has said huge shopping malls have become the cathedrals of our society for millions of worshiping shopaholics. And as the bumper sticker says, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Now, of course, greed can express itself in other ways too, can't it? Greed expresses itself in the miser who keeps all of his money, in the man who will not give his wife money to spend, even though they have it. They're keeping it for some day that may never come, and they decide that they are going to pinch every single penny. You've met people like that too, haven't you? Some of you live with people like that. God help you. God help you. Greed is a feeling of possessiveness and ownership, a sense of saying, I need money and I need things and I need more money and I need more things. And then if you're In America today, there are people who will tell you that life owes you all those things. I told you that greed never comes unchaperoned. It's always got some cousins that it brings to the picnic. Let me name two. One is covetousness. Now, the Bible is very explicit that covetousness is idolatry. Here is a verse. No immoral or impure or greedy person. I might say that it begins with the words of Paul, for of this you can be sure. How many things can you be sure of in life? Well, here's one of them. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. But notice this, a greedy person is an idolater. Oh, very important. If you wonder why the sin of greed is so great, in a few moments I'll be explaining to you why it is a slap in God's face. But notice it says, he's an idolater. Now the last commandment is, thou shalt not covet. The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Paul is saying something very interesting. He's saying that the two commandments are identical. That if you covet, you are breaking the first commandment, you become an idolater. Covetousness, that desire to have what other people have. Eve coveted being like God and ate the forbidden fruit. Lot's wife coveted Sodom and turned into a pillar of salt. David coveted his neighbor's wife and destroyed his family. Covetousness is part of that mix all the time. Then there's another cousin that shows up at the picnic. It's envy. Envy is that sense of ill will that we feel toward people who are doing better than we are. Envy is that feeling that we despise those people who are better looking than we are. And for some of us, that's a bunch. Envy is that feeling that we despise those who have more money or those who are stronger or those who are more successful in the very thing that we are doing. That's envy.
Well, my dear friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and there's a burden on my heart today, and that is to share with you that this matter of idolatry that I've been speaking about is very subtle. For example, if I'm speaking to someone today who is not walking with God, whatever reason you may give for that, maybe disappointment, maybe sin, maybe it's because you feel that indeed God has let you down, what you are really saying is this: that until God meets my need, until God takes care of what I think he should, I can disregard him. That is idolatry. Idolatry says I cannot walk with God until he does A, B, C, or D. So that means that there's something in my life more important than following him. From my heart to yours, take a moment right now. Ask God to reveal the idols that might be there and confess them with all your heart.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of Greed, the Heart Revealed, another message in his series on seven secret snares. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in Dr. Lutzer's book, Seven Snares of the Enemy. This book will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next edition of Running to Win.